Blog Talk Radio.
Shortly by our co-host Jeremy Yespian. For the next hour, we will be talking sports. And of course, like we always do at this time, we have fun doing it. So we're going to have fun and we're going to talk sports. You're going to get my opinions. You're going to get Jeremy's opinions. And of course, we're going to get your opinions. And the number to call to get your opinions is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And again, if you want to send messages to the show, if you want to use your computer, your whatever phone you have, BlackBerry, you can hit me up at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's, again, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, been an interesting week here in the world of sports, and it's been an interesting week in terms of Philadelphia sports. As we all know, it went down last Sunday on Easter, to be exact. Donovan McNabb is gone. He's off to our nation's capital. Hopefully for him to do his work. It was a good run for number five, but it's time for us in Philadelphia to turn the page to our new starter, our new guy, the guy who's in charge of the quarterback position, and that is Kevin Cobb.
I didn't even blink when Andy told me. I mean, I really didn't. I'm excited about it. I think it sure is going to add a little bit of drama, but at the same time, it's going to be exciting. I mean, this is going to be a fun ride, and I truly have that outlook on it. I'm looking forward to it, and I think that this team will surprise some people.
We'll see, Kevin. We'll see if the team surprises people. But right now, Kevin, this is your job, baby. This is your football team. Are you ready? I mean, the reality of it is, Andy Reid knows quarterbacks. He's proven it with Donovan McNabb. So maybe Andy knows something about Donovan that we just don't know. I mean, Andy was bold enough, and the Eagles organization was bold enough to trade McNabb within the division. So that's telling me that, you know what, not only do we have enough confidence in our guy, Kevin Cobb, but we have enough confidence that we could stop Donovan if we had to face him. So, I mean, Andy's basically telling you that by trading him within the division. So, but today, we talked about the trade in the show earlier in the week, and we talked about the trade a lot. But now today is McNabb is gone. He's off to Washington. Wish him nothing but success and nothing but luck. But today is about memories. More importantly, Donovan McNabb memories. And there's plenty of them. I mean, I give you one off the top of my head now. How about the four touchdowns with a broken ankle against the Cardinals? I mean, how about that? Broken ankle, still managed to do four touchdowns. That's heart. That's grit. That's toughness there. Or how about that play against the Cowboys where he threw that long bomb to Freddie Mitchell? He's just running around, and throws it long to Freddie Mitchell. That, again, a great McNabb memory. And, of course, who can remember seeing number five hold up that NFC Championship trophy against the Falcons? Who can remember? It was a great memory. It was a great time in the city. There are also going to be some bad McNabb memories, unfortunately. I mean, the four NFC Championship game losses, throwing up in the Super Bowl. I mean, the talking about that he didn't know there were ties in the NFL. I mean, these things are bad memories for Donovan McNabb. But I have to say, in those 11 years, the good outweighed the bad. And he did a lot of good things for this city. So, again, today we're going to be talking McNabb memories. I want your memories, both good, both bad, both happy, and both sad. But McNabb spoke earlier this week, spoke to the Washington media. He said some interesting things. Here's a few.
Through my 11 years, you can't say that I haven't accomplished a lot. There's one thing that I didn't accomplish, and I look to hopefully accomplish it here in Washington, and that's winning the Super Bowl.
He's right. He's right. I mean, you can't argue with the accomplishments of Donovan McNabb. You can't argue with him. You can't argue with those accomplishments. Six Pro Bowls. Can't argue with that. Five NFC Championship games. Can't argue with that. He didn't get us the ring, but he got us close. I mean, I want a ring just like anybody else. But I got to give the man credit for what he did for our city. So, again, it's about McNabb memories today. Also, Tiger's back. Tiger Woods, he's back. Everybody, he is back. At the end of the day, Friday at the Masters, Tigers was two back off the lead. But what I want to talk about today is that commercial. Did you guys see that commercial? It didn't debut yet, but did you see the commercial? Tiger Woods' dad, speaking to Tiger. Tiger says nothing in that commercial. He's just standing there. It's black and white. Tiger just sitting there. His dad's just speaking from the grave. Yeah. You heard it right. Earl Woods speaking from the grave. Did everybody just think about that? This, to me, is just a bad attempt at trying to reshape Tiger's image. I mean, come on. Come on, Tiger. You're better than this. You're bringing your dad into the picture. You're bringing your dad to speak for you. Your dad is in the grave, Tiger. He's dead. And you and Nike came up with this idea to try to reshape and get you back. It's crazy. I mean, the commercial to me was crazy. But in addition to that commercial, it was interesting comments made by the head of Augusta National, Billy Payne. Billy Payne was quoted as saying at his news conference on Wednesday that it is simply not the degree of his conduct that is so egregious here. It is the fact that he is disappointed all of us. More importantly, our kids and our grandchildren. Our hero did not live up to the expectations of the role model we saw for our children. Billy Payne. This is the guy who was a part of Augusta National, the head of Augusta National. This is the same organization that didn't allow a black face to enter into their membership until 1990. And this is the same group that still does not have any women. I mean, so come on, Billy Payne. Shut up. Just shut up. I mean, come on. Who are you? And it's not the job of the athletes to be the role model for our children. The parents are. This comes down to parents being the role models for our children. Just because you got a wicked jump shot, just because you can hit a golf ball far, doesn't make you a role model. So the question I have for our callers is are athletes role models? And if they are, should they be? I don't think so. I mean, that's what parents are for. So the question is, again, can and should athletes be role models? We want to get your opinions on that. And again, Your McNabb memories. It came to an end, Philadelphia. It ended on Easter. McNabb went off to Washington. And I guess it's kind of fitting that it happened on Easter, because all you guys out there in Philadelphia, a lot of you guys think Kevin Cobb is the savior. He's the Messiah. He rose. You guys think that Kevin Cobb is the guy who's going to get it done. We'll see. All right, the number of call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It. Also, you can send messages to the show, email messages, at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. Again, McNabb memories, good, bad, happy or sad, whatever you like. And also, Tiger Woods and athletes, should they be our role models for the children? We have a caller.
Hello?
Oh, you're on Go For It.
Hey, yeah. You got a lot of interesting topics up here today. First of all, let me start with Donovan McNabb.
You got some memories? Give me some McNabb memories.
All my memories are negative ones. I'm a Philadelphia.
All championship games?
All my memories are negative ones.
Six Pro Bowls? Go ahead.
Now, I would like to say here that McNabb was the best quarterback that Philadelphia has ever had. In the history of Philadelphia, McNabb was the best quarterback.
This is the best quarterback you ever had in the history of this team, and you got a lot of bad memories. But continue.
Yeah, because my expectations that I had for Donovan were high because
okay.
I believed him.
Okay.
And I'm not sitting here saying I don't believe in him now. I think that it's time for him to go, and I'm glad that he went because I think the system – and the relationship between him and Andy Reid was enmeshed, and it wasn't producing what we needed to produce out there.
I mean, in some respect, there is a level of truth to what you're saying, that they didn't – ultimately, it comes down to winning championships. At the end of the day, it comes down to winning championships. Did they win championships? No, they didn't. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. But at the same time, if you believe that Donovan still can play football and make some plays for your ball club and can still get it done, then why do you trade him? And why do you want him to trade him?
Because he has shown time and time again that he can't get past the big ones, even when we were favorite in the big games.
We were favorite in a lot of those games. Go ahead.
And it didn't happen. And, you know, like I said, the relationship, I think.
It sounds like you need to contend with what's going on back there. You need to worry about the relationship with your daughter.
Paul, I think you're overstepping your bounds. I decided, all right, the car's working, Ken. So, let's move on. Let's
talk
about athletes. Let's move on to Tiger Woods. Now, when it comes to role model, everyone's a role model, and everyone isn't a role model. Any last one of us on the face of this earth can fill the shoes of a role model. So role models are chosen.
Okay,
now,
but,
when you are in the public eye, you're, whether you want to be a role model or not, you are a role model of somebody. Somebody.
Yes, but that's a good point. But you got to remember something, that you have a lot of guys, a lot of athletes, and entertainers in general who are role models to a lot of these kids, whether they choose it or don't choose it, and their conduct, the things that they do out there, could turn certain children and certain individuals, and may make them do those same things. Or make them believe that it's okay. But ultimately, it comes down to parenting. It comes down to your mother and your father.
Right. But it doesn't take the responsibility away from anybody in the public eye. Anytime you're in the public eye, you have a responsibility.
But why is there? But
whether,
why are they
whether
responsible?
Whether you want to have that
how can they be responsible for what your children is doing? For what your
because
what
I'm not talking
child,
about. I'm not talking about my child in particular, but as
I'm not talking
know,
about your child either. I'm talking about children in general. How can
exactly
Tiger Woods, who hits the ball, the golf ball very far, or Allen Iverson, who has a wicked jump shot? How can these guys be your role models? That's I mean, just because they play
I'm
gonna
tell you,
so
and I'm gonna tell you. Paul, I'm going to tell you why. Because there are children out here who don't have fathers, who don't have mothers,
but
who are part of the foster care system.
Is that Tiger Woods' fault?
No, it's not Tiger Woods' fault. But Tiger Woods, like any other person in the public eye, is a role model, whether they want to be or not.
You essentially made my point. It's not their fault. It's not their responsibility.
Your responsibility. I take that.
It's not their responsibility.
It is their responsibility.
It is not. I mean, it would be nice if Tiger lived a great, a good life and was faithful and did all the right things. It would be nice if AI lived a good life and lived a faithful life and was good and did all the right things. But it is not their responsibility.
Okay, well, let me explain something to you. I know you're an expert on sports and all that good stuff, but let me explain this. Tiger is a role model, and I want to finish my thought here. He is a role model, and he made a mistake. He recognized it.
14, 15 mistakes, but go ahead.
Yes, he recognized it, and he lived up to the mistake and apologized. Not only did he apologize, but he said, I made a mistake. My conduct was bad. I did wrong. That's a role model. That is a role model because not only did he make a mistake, he confessed to it because he's telling people that no matter how good you are, he's a human being, he's not perfect, but he owns up to his mistake.
He asked for forgiveness. He is a human being, he's not perfect, but at the end of the day, he does not have to be, he should not be, role models to our children. Thank you for your call.
He is it. Oh, God. Bye.
Well, I mean, it's not fair for us to say these guys have to be our role models for our children. I mean, come on. It's not fair to these guys. I mean, they're human just like we are. They make mistakes just like we do. They put their pants on or their dresses or whatever they put on just like we do. We need parents to step up. Not AI. Not Tiger Woods, not Michael Jordan, not Vince Carter, not Dwight Howard, not Kobe Bryant, not LeBron James. We need parents to step up. Hello, you're on Go For It. Hello? Caller, are you there?
Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you.
I was saying I'd like to speak on the topic of the athlete being role models.
Yes.
I think I kind of agree with you. I think we as a society, we place these labels on these athletes, and they may not necessarily want that.
It's unreasonable.
They don't say that, okay, I'm going out here to be an athlete. They want to live their lives, and I do believe a lot of the responsibility lies on parents, and I think the parents should be at home teaching their children, what is acceptable, what's okay, what is responsible behavior so that they can decipher for themselves what's right or wrong. And I don't think it's fair to replace that on these athletes.
Exactly. And it comes down to me. It comes down to we have unfortunately become a society that does not want to own up to our responsibilities. We have parents here who are neglecting their children, who are not doing the things that they need to do for their children to be successful. So they're saying, let me put it on AI.
The media has played such a big role in this, and no one holds them accountable. Nobody holds the media accountable. The media gets away with so much, and they can place labels today. They can be held up on a pedestal. Tomorrow, they can post something out, and then they're the worst person ever. So I think the media perpetuates so much of this negativity. And yes, some of these individuals that get in the limelight, they get all this big money, and they make mistakes. Of course, they do. Like Tiger Woods, I don't necessarily agree with what he did, but it happened, and I don't think it's fair that he needs to explain to us what happened in his household and his marriage. Now, that's none of our business, and what he's done, that's his business.
It isn't none of our business what he does in his household. And it's none of our business what he does in his life. But I guess the point about it all, and I guess the point that what makes them role models is a lot of times they're selling certain things to us and to our children. So in some respect, unfortunately, TV has become the thing that has been in a lot of ways raising many of our children. And if there's no parents there to tell them that, hey, this guy's not perfect, you know, or, hey, this guy is only human, you know. The only thing he does better than you in a lot of ways is have a wicked jump shot or can run a football better than you or throw a football farther than you. In a lot of ways, that's all these guys can do better than a lot of us. But we see him on TV, we see him on the radio, we see him on all these different places, and we determine that they become role models to our children.
Right.
And that is a problem.
Can I say something about McNabb?
Sure. You have a McNabb memory?
I don't want to say all my memories about McNabb are not necessarily positive ones. I mean,
no memory of anybody is positive.
Well, I'm just saying he got us pretty far, and then he seemed to drop the ball every time. You know, I'm going to miss McNabb, but I think it was time for a change. We need a shift in Philly. We do. We need something different. We need different chemistry. We need a different game. And unfortunately, I don't believe McNabb was the person to get us there. And, you know, I wish him well. And I'm sure Philly will recoup and do fine.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully, in some respect, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan myself, hopefully you're right. But I thought it was a little too soon. I thought they could have did one more year. But it's
What's one more year? What's one more year? I mean, is it going to make a difference one more year, really?
Well, I mean, I think this team could have retooled and did enough to possibly get them back to where they need to be. On the offensive side of the ball, they have a lot of weapons, a lot of young weapons, a lot of guys who can make plays. And McNabb has never really had that at his disposal. But he had an opportunity now. He would have that opportunity going into next year. But defensively, there are some holes on the defensive side of the football that they need to take care of and they need to shore up. But again,
right. I don't know that the organization handled it well, but I can see that. I don't know.
It happened on Easter. Obviously, you believe in Kevin Cobb, so you got your Messiah who's going to save the day for you. So, I mean, enjoy Kevin Cobb. And we thank you for your call.
I think we will. We will. Fine.
The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And also, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. So, again, McNabb memories. McNabb memories. We're talking McNabb memories, both good or bad. And athletes and role models. Should athletes be role models? And should we even expect them to be role models? I mean, because, again, they're human. They're not perfect. They're not perfect. And it comes on the heels of Augusta National Chairman Billy Payne making, to me, was just some crazy comments, ridiculous comments. I mean, who are you, Billy Payne, as the chairman of Augusta National, an organization who, again, just allowed his first black member in 1990. So, I mean, that's you're talking almost 20 years ago. The same organization who still, to this day, does not have women in the organization. Does not have women. So, I mean, who are you? Who are you to say that? I mean, to me, it's a joke. And Billy Payne, I mean, you're ridiculous for those comments. And if you didn't hear the comments, I'll read the comments again. It is simply not the degree of his conduct that is so egregious here. It is the fact that he's disappointed all of us. More importantly, our kids and our grandkids. Our hero did not live up to expectations of the role model we saw for our children. Those are the words of Augusta National Chairman Billy Payne. Sounds crazy, right? I mean, the reality of it is, Billy, that your parents have to be the role models. Your parents have to be the ones who show you the way to do the right things, the way to do things. They have to be the one. It's not an athlete. It's not Donovan McNabb. It's not. It's not Tiger Woods. It's not. It's not any of these guys. These guys are just playing a sport. These guys just have exceptional talents. These just guys have the ability to do great things in their chosen sport. These guys have that ability. And I'm not saying that they don't have no obligation to the public in terms, because we are the ones paying their salaries. We are the ones who are basically supporting what they do. So in some respect, they do have an obligation to the public. But in terms of being role models and in terms of being people who have to live their lives for kids and to live their lives in a certain way because they are athletes, it's just not fair. It's just not fair, and it's not something we should expect from these guys. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Again, the number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page under the category of sports. McNabb memories. Do you have some? They could be good. They could be bad. They could be happy. They could be sad. And again, athletes and role models. Should athletes and are athletes role models to our children? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think they should be. And I don't think they have to be. And I don't think they are obligated to be. And it's not fair for us as the public at large to expect these guys to be the role models. We're joined by our co-host, Jeremy Yesby. Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Pretty good.
Family's on the mend, and I'm back.
Welcome back. Tiger's back, too.
Yeah, it was an interesting Masters thus far, and, you know, he's, I think, given us a lot to think about, a lot to talk about, certainly. His play, you know, Tiger the athlete, and I think for the last couple of weeks, you've certainly been talking about Tiger the person, and, you know, we got a chance to hear, well, watch Tiger and Tiger's dad.
I mean, in that commercial, just, it was odd, a little peculiar to me, a little different. And quite frankly, in some respect, maybe Tiger's pipping his father.
You know, I would like to know if that was Nike, if that was Tiger. I'm sure you and I will both agree. I don't think, even in the troubles that Tiger has, I don't think he signs off on anything he doesn't want to do.
Tiger's a control freak. So at the end of the day, that's not going through unless Tiger says it's going through.
And I have to wonder, you know, I watched it on YouTube. I watched it on TV a couple hundred times because I was really captivated. I want to know the message. I'm trying to understand the message that he wants you to see. I go back to a commercial, you know, that's probably one of my favorites. That was the Charles Barkley, "I'm not your role model." But I look at this commercial from Tiger, and I don't know what message he wants me to pull from this.
I guess the message in a lot of ways is, goes back to an old song. I'm only human, flesh and blood of man, you know?
But Paul, I mean, if that's the case, And the one thing, you know, that really, if anything, I look at this entire situation for Tiger, and I really wonder about is if he's a man, then why don't you if it was me and we're going now to the start of all of this, how come you don't embrace this? And I've been saying this since it all happened. Tiger, I think his biggest mistake is not being a man, not standing up from day one, and just admitting the simple truth that he is not just a celebrity, he's an iconic celebrity. He's reached a status in this country in less than a decade that few people have ever reached and probably few people will have ever reached.
But is he a role model? I mean, is it fair for us to make this guy the role model for our children?
Well, and, you know, it gets back to not just that, but I think Tiger Woods, you know, there's a debate raging. Did Tiger Woods, you know, did he actually embrace this role model, or did he profit from it? You know, and that's interesting, Paul, because I look at Tiger before all of this, and Tiger was not out in community outreaches. He wasn't like you look at a Bono, you look at Julia Roberts, and the Oprah Winfrey's, where they're out in the public eye, opining themselves on civil issues. But Tiger was really just a golfer. Yeah, he had his charity, and people knew about it, but it certainly wasn't very, you know, really mainstream, a competitive charity. But he now gets to a point where after this, you know, he's had to kind of embrace and hear the media critique him as a role model. I wonder if he wasn't just an athletic role model.
Well, the reality of it is Tiger did profit from his squeaky clean image, so to speak. He profited from it, and he ran with it. So in that respect, you can't have it both ways. Either you're role model or not. Either you're going to live a certain way or you're not.
But
if you're going to profit
from
it, you got to come with you got to go with without the negative that comes with it. You got to go with both, the good and the bad.
I'm not. That's why I said my one issue with Tiger is why didn't you just say outwardly, hey, look, I made some mistakes, but everybody knows this. Before I met my wife, she was a nanny. So she had nothing. She comes and meets me. We have two children. She's a beautiful-looking lady. She knew all about the fact that I was having multiple affairs well before we even got married. So this is, you know, between me and her, and if she has something to say about it, she can go back to being a nanny.
But do you think the public would have bought that?
Yeah, I really do, Paul, because you know what? The bottom line is the public knew that. Your callers were calling in, and when we were talking about Tiger, everyone said.
Yeah, but everybody, the public knew in some respect, but the public doesn't want you to say that. They want you to say, the sponsors don't want you to say that. The sponsors want you to say, you know what, I made a mistake. The sponsors want you to say, you know what, I've changed, and now I'm going to do better. The sponsors don't want to hear you saying, the truth. That's a little too much of the truth. The sponsors don't want to hear
Paul,
that.
You know what? There's more. One of the things I believe in this country is there's a new sponsor every day. There's so many products. There's so many services. It doesn't matter what he's going to. Nike, if the interesting thing about his biggest sponsorship, we both agree, by far, is Nike. Nike is not going to lose Tiger Woods over 14 women. They're not going to lose Tiger Woods over 24 women. They're not going to lose Tiger Woods or 48 women. Nike sells shoes and golf clubs. And there's other products for him to rep. There's other services for him to rep, with or without the truth. But at the end of the day, for him to sit around and do nothing has created this whirlwind of ideas, opinions, and what have you. Had he even just been contrite and apologized, perhaps, and embraced the mistake, rather than waiting 4 months, 3 months, because now when he comes out and plays these two rounds of golf, it's like a big surprise to everyone that Tiger Woods was the greatest golfer in the game far and away, you know, and he comes back and he's just, you know, at the top of his game because he is a great athlete.
We'll see how if he really is at the top of his game. As of right now, I know he was two back of the leaders at the Masters, but it should be interesting whether Tiger will get it done. Again, we're talking McNabb memories? Do you have them, good, bad, happy, or sad? And athletes and role models, should they be our role models to our kids? We have a caller.
Yes, hi, this is Kenya from New York.
Hi, Kenya from New York. Welcome to Go For It.
How you doing? Just bear with me. You know, I'm suffering from some sinus problems here, but I was going to talk a little bit about athletes being role models. It's very difficult to put that type of title on an athlete because, you know, all of them, each one goes through different things in life. So you can't really put that on the athlete to be a role model because there are a percentage that are doing very positive things and may not have no scratches in their, you know, their history.
And everybody has scratches.
There's others. I mean, everyone has scratches, but it may be to a minimal, you know, a very minimal.
Well, we don't hear about it. I mean, but many of these athletes today, they get to the top of their profession with scratches in tow. I mean, let's look even at Reggie Bush, comes into the NFL with a major investigation at USC. Ben Roethlisberger, since he's been in the NFL, has had numerous scratches. Tiger Woods, I think, if people would have looked at him just as a person instead of a deity, I mean, it was obvious he was elevating
that's
all
an
over the
T
country.
Word.
And that's,
I mean, Paul, you'll agree.
It's very understandable to, like, you know, these people come in with issues. But at the same time, we can't look at that and have our children look at them as role models. Children are very influenced. And, I mean, for the most part, for whatever reason may be, children seem to follow the negative, which, you know, it's a problem. You know, unfortunately, this is what happens. They follow the negative. So those athletes sometimes, when they do these negative things, they got to understand that there are children watching.
Isn't
that
parental
responsibility
there?
Where's
dad? Where's grandma? Where's grandpa? Where's
exactly.
Where's
the parents?
I mean,
I know,
just
the parents are there. But the way our world is driven is by entertainment and what we see and what's around us. You know, this is we are influenced by that. We are
I said something earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. Is that LeBron James' fault? Is that Kobe Bryant's fault? Is that Tiger Woods' fault? That's none of these guys' fault that some parents are not being parents to their children. That's not his fault.
You know, and then, Paul, that brings up the interesting point is when is this country going to stop making excuses for what needs to be done at home and start doing it at home? You know, it's very easy to say, well, you know, the child is looking up to the athlete. The child is looking up to the movie star. Instead of the parents saying, you know what, I want my child to look up to me. Turn the TV off, you know, spend more time with the child, and then maybe they will look up to you. Rather than keeping the TV on in the background.
I agree with that. I agree with the, you know, families need to spend time together to show, you know, role models in the family. That is a very important topic. That's very important.
But please don't turn off the computer. Because you can't listen to Go For It if you turn off the computer.
Of course not.
Well, I said the TV, Paul.
Okay.
You guys are great. You guys are great.
Do you have any McNabb memories, Ms. Kenya?
McNabb, man. I really can't think of anything right now. But I tell you, next week, if there's anything I can think about on McNabb, I will definitely bring it up then.
Do your research.
I will.
I have to tell you, Paul. You and I were talking about the McNabb memories earlier in the week, and even today, this morning, and it's an interesting point that you want to spend some time reminiscing over McNabb's career. And I made the point to you, the comment to you that, you know, McNabb, if you do look at his career, he's had a steady career. He wasn't that Randall Cunningham. You know, that he was...
Well, I got to stop you there. I mean, hey, I love Randall Cunningham.
Just like you did during the week.
I love Randall Cunningham. But at the same time, McNabb has had a better career than Randall.
But Paul, I'm not saying that was my point. I'm not here to compare careers. You talk about McNabb memories, and my point is when you look at McNabb's career overall, the breadth of his career as a Philadelphia Eagle, you're not going to really be able to say, "Oh, I remember this play," other than the 4th and 26, and we had joked about that. McNabb's career was very yeoman-like. It was a workman-like career. He really focused in on being an all-pro, a perennial all-pro, and probably, I mean, if he goes to Washington and does continue to play in this league at the level he should, he's probably going to wind up being a very serious candidate for the Hall of Fame.
And then the question becomes now to you, since you brought up the Hall of Fame. Is McNabb a Hall of Famer?
Well, not this early in his career, and you and I both know that. I mean, it's 10 years. I mean, he had great stats, but at a 10-year mark, I don't think he can leave the impression because of the people that were in front of him at his position. Quarterback is a difficult field, I think, in 10, 12 years to make it to the Hall. I think, you know, he needs 3 to 4 more good years. If he brings Washington to the divisional championship, I think, you know, something like that for a guy like McNabb in a team like Washington that has a lot of question marks, but certainly doesn't have
I think if McNabb stays on the current track that he's on as we speak now, more than likely, if he gives you say another 2 to 3 years, and he plays the same way on the same level that he has always played, he probably will be a Hall of Famer in terms of numbers.
Oh, right. Because, Paul, I mean, I think, again, Philadelphians were very spoiled to have an athlete like Donovan McNabb for as long as they had. And you know, it's interesting. I think the one memory, if anybody really wants to remind themselves of who Donovan McNabb really was, and that's the day he was drafted. I mean, Donovan McNabb, I don't think anyone would have thought it was wrong of him to demand to be traded after being booed when the team picks you, you know, and you have that kind of career.
Well, I mean, you had a bunch of, you know, about 30 or so bozos who went up there, and obviously, as we know now, 10 years, 11 years now, later, don't really know too much about football, because it's obvious that Andy Reid and the Philadelphia Eagles organization may know a little bit more than those 30 bozos who went up there and who were cheering, and the governor for that respect, though he wasn't at the draft, but then the governor, Governor Rendell, who wanted Ricky Williams. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, Paul, you and I were on the same page. I think McNabb meant more to the Philadelphia Eagle organization than I think Philadelphia really wants to lend themselves to believe. But I think, and it does bring up a good point too, you know, Andy Reid has been really maligned in this city for his entire career here. But all he does is bring home NFC championships. And all he does is bring home playoff teams and great player after great player.
He only brought home one NFC championship.
Well, let's
be clear about that.
But Paul, well, when you get there, and see, here again, that's the selfish part of Paul Ganther, the Philadelphia fan. I continue to say you're looking at this at a really selfish component because you expect every year to be at the end, not just the NFC Championship, but in the Super Bowl. Getting the NFC Championship 4 times in a row, having the 10, 11 years that the Eagles had, you know, very few teams had that kind of dominance in the history of the NFL. And here you are having to remind everyone that was really only one win in the NFL.
I mean, let's be clear about something. I'm a supporter of Andy Reid. Do I like his run-pass ratio? No. Do I like what he has done in NFC Championship games? No, I don't. But at the same time, he has proven to be a winner on some level. He has proven to be a winner on some level. So, I mean, could we find better than Andy Reid out there? Probably not. So, I mean,
it's not probably not. It's not.
Okay, but for all these people out here who have stated that they wanted Reed to go as well. I mean, it goes back to your point. There's a level of being spoiled here, being spoiled with the success that this franchise has had. I mean, you're a little spoiled now when you want to run a guy out of town who has done what he has done and who is the all-time winningest coach in the history of the organization. So, I mean, go ahead.
I think that, again, this offseason I think will be a definer for Philadelphians if they want to track, you know, how well Andy Reid's career is going to be linked to this city. If he, in the next 2 years, brings them back to the dominance that he had under the McNabb era, and you talk about surplaying himself as a Hall of Famer, I guess my question to you is, doesn't that make Andy Reid a Hall of Fame head coach?
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, do you think Reid needs a championship to kind of cement that legacy? I mean, you look at a Marv Levy, who, again, who a guy who has had made 4 Super Bowl appearances, but he's gotten to the big game 4 times. So, I mean, you know, in terms of whether or not Andy Reid's a Pro Bowler, it's questionable. I mean, a Hall of Famer is questionable in a lot of ways. Because, like I said, Marv Levy has made the dance 4 times. So Andy's only been there one time. So for us to say that or possibly believe that Andy Reid should be a Hall of Famer is questionable. I know Marv Levy is a Hall of Famer. So I guess along those lines, do you believe since Marv has got there 4 times to the Super Bowl and Andy has gotten to the NFC Championship game 5 times, is it on par, or whose accomplishment is better is what it comes down to?
Oh, I think that Marv Levy, the only difference is that Marv Levy was really the coach, and Reid has shared a lot of most of the management for parts of his career, player management duties. And I think that, again, fans don't look at this on a non-emotional level. They look at it on an emotional level and they say, oh, Andy Reid, the coach. And they fail to realize, you know, that it's Andy Reid, the coach and basically GM of this ball club for much of his tenure. You know, he's very involved and very hands-on on the management end, and I don't think we respect how difficult that can be. In terms of comparing it, that's why I think he needs to bring 2 quarterbacks over, you know, really a multitude of years. If he can bring 2 different quarterbacks and show that he has this system, much the way that the other major head coaches that are in his pedigree, the Holmgrens, the George Seifert, then he has this system, and that will be what cements him as a mainstay, you know, as an NFL head coach for years. Because it's my belief that it really is, you know, this Andy Reid system, I think you are starting to see a lot more of it now in the NFL as his head coaches, assistant coaches become head coaches.
And at the same time, you kind of compare Andy to Bill Cowher. It took Bill Cowher a long time to finally get over that hump. He was a guy who's gotten his Steelers team to the AFC Championship games a few times, gotten them to the Super Bowl actually once with against the Cowboys in '96. But it took time for him to get over the top, and it took some bad in the middle of all that. There were some bad years in Pittsburgh. I mean, not bad years, but years where they didn't make the playoffs. So it took Bill Cowher some time to get it done finally. So if Andy does get it done, he does get a Super Bowl, I guess we kind of look at him the way we kind of view Bill Cowher in a sense.
Every once in a while, Paul, you'll make a comment that makes me think rather than just annoys me. And I look at Andy Reid, and you compare a guy like Bill Cowher, and I couldn't agree more. You know, Cowher got it on the absolute end of his career, and it's very well known. He'll certainly be back in the NFL. But you certainly want to look at, and you certainly want to watch Andy Reid now in the post-McNabb era. See what he's going to be able to do with an organization that he's handcrafted.
Well, it should be interesting. I mean, a lot of people, they're happy that that Kevin Cobb is the guy. And be careful what you wish for is what I say. But, I mean, I think, like I said earlier in the week, Kevin Cobb has a lot of promise, and he has shown some ability. Whether that translates into 5 NFC championship games, whether that translates into a Super Bowl appearance, whether that translates into 6 Pro Bowl appearances, whether that translates into 32,000 yards of passing yards, whether it translates to those things, we have yet to see, and we'll have to see how that plays out. Whether it translates into those things, only time will tell that. So my thing is, if this is the guy that you guys want, please, please, Philadelphia fans, be patient, because he may struggle. He may struggle because, again, this is his first time being the guy.
Well, and I said that's why I think, you know, if Andy Reid really wants to make his mark in the NFL, he's going to rest his shoulder. He's resting now his shoulders on a guy that could set him back to a point where he will not make it. You know, he has 2 bad seasons with Cobb. I can assure you Andy Reid will not be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia won't allow that, Paul. I mean, I think we both agree.
Well, I don't see. I don't think Philadelphia fans will be patient enough to make, if Cobb struggles. How patient will this fan base be? How patient will they be with this guy? How long will it take before they start chanting the name of Vic, Vic, Vic? So, I mean,
as I told you, Paul, if it doesn't work, we talked about the money. If it doesn't happen in the preseason, he's got 3 games. They go 0-3 in the 4th game. You'll have to see Vic. Unless Andy Reid, in my opinion, does something he's never done in his entire career, which is in these press conferences, you know, opine himself to make the media and the fans know that if we are staying with Cobb.
Opine, SAT word.
And that, well, you know, I want to bring it back, Paul. So I want to, like, the word of the show.
Well, I mean, again, it should be very interesting how this year plays out and how Kevin Cobb does. I mean, he does have some weapons around him. He does have some playmakers on the offensive side of football. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he has guys who can make plays for him. He'll have a lot better than Donovan has ever had in his career here
in
Philadelphia.
And we go back to the memories. You want to talk about the McNabb memory. The question is, you know, I think the lasting memory of McNabb, the most impressionable memory of McNabb, Paul, is going to be what happens now. McNabb's going to be best remembered in this city after he's gone. Because that's always how it works.
And we'll see how much he is, how much they will miss this guy. It depends upon how Kevin Cobb does. I mean, I keep saying it over and over again, but in reality, it really comes down to what Kevin Cobb does for this football team, for us to determine whether or not this was a great move. And also, it depends what Donovan does in Washington as well. It really comes down to those two things.
And having McNabb in the division for the Eagles, for McNabb, can either be a recipe for disaster for the Eagles or, you know, maybe Andy Reid knew more than we did.
And I stated that earlier in the show. Maybe Andy knows something that you don't know and that I don't know about Donovan McNabb, because he did trade him within his division. This is a guy he will see 2 times. He will see this guy 2 times. So he must know something that we don't know. And he must know that something about Kevin Cobb that a lot of us believe that Kevin, like I said, Kevin Cobb has promise, has ability. A lot of us believe that, and a lot of us have seen that. But, again, will that translate when he is the guy, when he is called on to be the guy? The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And, again, you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it. And, again, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com.
You know, we talked today, Paul, about two interesting sports figures, Tiger Woods, Don McNabb. You know, two great athletes in their own respect, in their own sport. One guy, McNabb. You would think that doing the right thing in your profession, never one ounce of trouble, never strayed from being a stand-up gentleman, supported charities, was a all-around athlete, great guy in Philadelphia, and traded and kind of, you know, thrown away in the city. And then there's a guy like Tiger Woods and decimates his family, disrespects the game of golf, and is back playing the Masters.
Well, I mean, he didn't disrespect the game of golf. He is golf in a lot of ways. But I don't think he disrespected the game. He disrespected himself in terms of his personal conduct.
Well,
but did he disrespect the game? No, I don't think he disrespected the game.
He disrespected the game in that, and it's certainly very well known that you know, much of Tiger's indiscretions were carried on, you know, all about town. Right after the golf events, he was gallivanting.
And he was gallivanting. I guess he was having a good time. We have a caller.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How are you? On Go For It.
Hey, I just want to go down the conversation, and I want to know what's up.
We're talking Tiger Woods and role models. Should athletes be role
Tiger
models?
Tiger Woods. My personal opinion on the whole Tiger Woods situation is the mainstream media just likes to use him for the ratings.
Didn't he use the mainstream golf for his pockets?
Didn't he use the what?
He used professional golf, and he used the media to line his pockets, the advertisers.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But here's the thing. Most of our Tiger Woods drama is coming from ESPN, and here's my issue on that. ESPN is turning into now TMZ, where they're covering Tiger Woods so much. Like, they're even every breath Tiger Woods breathes, they're covering, whether it's a Nike commercial, whether it's how many, you know, text messages that he got from a certain model. Is that
ESPN's fault? I mean, if they want to report on Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods gave him the ammunition.
The reality of that is the only reason they do that is because people care and people want to see those things.
That's where they get their bucks from. I'm not going to lie from that. They want what you want is what they're giving you, basically, is what you're saying, correct?
Basically.
But here's the thing. Now that the Masters is currently on, I wish they would completely focus on that instead of, you know, some commercial or other aspects, because at the same time, you want to give the people what they want. You also have to be truthful to what it is that you're talking about. And it's not like they're lying, but you have to stick to what you do best, and that's sports, and not veering off into, you know, the side conversations.
That is what they do best is sports, but at the same time, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do all the other stuff, the text messages. They're not
going to
do that unless people like you and I and everybody else care. And unfortunately, in this society we live in, we do care about those things.
But, Paul, let's go back to Kobe Bryant. ESPN put up tents in the middle of Utah just so that they could cover every inch of the goings-on of Kobe Bryant. This is not a new, you know, this is not a new piece of ESPN. It's just when they get the opportunity to become a TMZ, ESPN, like everybody else in the world, has to do what they do best. and for that matter, they're covering what is relevant in sports in America today.
And we thank you for your call and your thoughts.
My thoughts?
We got about 15 seconds left in the show. We thank everybody who called, everybody who joined us. Jeremy, any final thoughts? You got 5 seconds.
Cheryl, get a man.
Everybody, see you next week. Bye.
What's 401? What's the area code?
401?
Rhode Island.
What's his name?
I didn't get his name. Hello? Who was
that?
I don't know.
Everybody's saying that.
Did you agree to his point?
Crazy.
That's a Rhode Island area code. It was 401. He may have. Did you agree with his point? Did you agree with his point? I think at the end of the day, the reason they do that, like I stage them, is they're going to do that because people care about those things, unfortunately. That's what people really care about.